feels a little odd not to have any music here at all, I guess, but we'll just jump right in. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 33. And if I could have all of the kids pay attention tonight, especially, okay? Especially all you kids. Not very many teens here tonight, but boys and girls, you pay attention tonight too. 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 33, I'm going to talk to you tonight about a boy sent to do a man's job. A boy who was sent to do a man's job. 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 33. And Saul said to David, "Thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth." Now go down to verse 42. Same chapter, 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 42. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth, and ruddy, and of a fair countenance. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word and for this story of David and Goliath. Lord, it's a true story. We believe that it's happened, and Lord, we are thrilled when we see that you are able to use people like David, just people who are willing to be used. And we thank you that you are willing to use us, and we pray that you would use us. And may we be inspired to be used through the message tonight, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the story of David and Goliath, of course, is a popular one. We've heard about it since we were young, grew up in Sunday school, hearing the story of David and Goliath. The children of Israel were at battle with the Philistines. The battle was to take place in a valley, the Valley of Elah. In fact, maybe we could do this. There's a lot of space between me and you here tonight. Can we have all the boys and girls, if you think you can sit quietly, can you come up on the front row? All the boys and girls who can sit quietly, come up on the front row. Just two? You guys are the only ones that can sit quietly here? All right. You could probably tell me the story of David and Goliath, but let me indulge you tonight. Let me tell you the story. I'm going to add a little flair to it this evening, too. Well, the children of Israel were at war with the Philistines. The battle was to take place in a valley. The valley was called Elah. Now, on one mountain, the children of Israel pitched their tent. Okay? Then down the mountain and the valley and up the other side of another mountain, that's where the Philistines were. So on one mountain was the Israelites and the other mountain was the Philistines. They were almost directly across from each other. They could look across the valley to the other side of the mountain and they could see the opposing army. The Philistines had a champion. His name was Goliath. He came from a place called Gath. To be a champion, he had to fight many battles. He wasn't afraid to fight. He had never, ever been beaten. He was the champion of his world. He knew how to fight. He was at least 9 feet 8 inches tall. Now, I'm 6'1". He was more than 3 feet taller than me. Anybody here taller than 6'1"? I'm the tallest guy here. He's over 3 feet taller than me. And he wore a helmet of brass. He wore flexible steel for armor. His coat alone weighed some 100 pounds. His shield was so heavy that an average guy would have all that he could do just to carry his shield. And he had a spear with an iron arrowhead. The arrowhead was somewhere around 12 pounds, just the head. And so Goliath would come out and he would challenge the men of Israel to a fight. He said, "Choose you a man and send him into the valley and we'll fight. And if I kill him, then you will be our servants. But if you kill me, then we will be your servants. We will serve you. And so I dare you, send me a man. Send me a man who's willing to fight me." Now when King Saul, king of the Israelites, heard this, he ran in the opposite direction. He ran as fast as he could. He didn't want anything to do with this challenge, with this battle. In fact, it says that all the men of Israel, their hearts were disheartened. In other words, they were scared to death of this man. Just his taunts scared them to death. All the men in the army of Israel under the command of King Saul was afraid. Now, while that's going on, there's a boy by the name of David. David's taking care of his father's sheep. His dad's name was Jesse. He was the baby brother. Any of you the baby in your family, the youngest in your family? He was the baby brother. David had two older brothers that were serving in Saul's army. When David was back home tending sheep, David's father said, David, I want you to leave the sheep and I want you to take some food to King Saul and your brothers. There's a battle going on. It's not that far from here. You take them some food. So David got this big old picnic basket. What do you think he put in there? Chicken, mashed potatoes and gravy, coleslaw, apple pie, ice cream. It would have been hard to keep the ice cream froze all the way. But they may have stopped off at Katie Cheese and took some of that squeaky mild Colby cheese. And then on the way, maybe he went to Krispy Kremes and got some of those. Those things are good. he didn't take all those things, but he did take some cheese, the Bible said. So he came with his food to King Saul and to his army. And when David got there, he was so excited. You know, what would you be like if you hadn't seen your brothers or sisters for a while? David was happy to see them, so the Bible says he ran to them. He ran to meet them. He went as fast as he could. While he's rejoicing, though, while he's glad to see his brothers, something happens. And all the joy and enthusiasm is taken away from them. Why? Because Goliath stepped out. And you could hear the voice of Goliath as it thundered through the valley. He said, send someone to fight me. Come on, let's do it. Come on, you cowards. I'm ready. Send somebody to fight me. Come on, preacher boys. Let's do it. Let's fight. Well, the men of Israel fled. I think this is real interesting. They weren't even down in the valley with Goliath. They were still on their side of the mountain. When Goliath comes out and echoes the challenge, they all fled from where they were. They wanted to get as far away from him as they possibly could. So they started running. After a while, they stopped running. They probably got all out of breath, and they looked around, and they saw David. David hadn't run. David was still standing there, glaring at this guy named Goliath. And they probably thought, he's so scared he can't move. He's petrified. He's stuck in his tracks. He's scared stiff. But then they saw David. His fists were clenched, and they realized David was upset. And Saul said to David, you can't go and fight Goliath. You're just a boy. You're just a boy. You're just a child. You're just a boy. But little is much when God is in it. The so-called men, they ran away. But what David was doing, it was not very popular because the men should be the ones to fight the battle. David's showing them up. So he's not very popular. So they told David, David, just calm down, just relax. We've been around here a long time. There's no sense taking on that Philistine. He's too big. There isn't anybody here that can beat him. Certainly you can't beat him. But even King Saul heard of David, but he didn't like him very much. And Saul said to him, I don't see how you think you can challenge Goliath. Now the one who should have challenged Goliath was Saul, was the king. The Bible says that he was the tallest among the Israelites. He was head and shoulders taller than everybody else. See, Saul was big on the outside, but he was little on the inside. And David was little on the outside, but he was big on the inside. It doesn't matter how big you are. It doesn't matter how muscular you are or how your frame is. If you're small, you can still be big on the inside. You can still be big for God. Because little is much when God is in it. And there in 1 Samuel 17:32, David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Don't be afraid of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. It was too late. Everybody was afraid. Their hearts had already failed them. And then 1 Samuel 17:33, and Saul said to David, thou art not able to go up against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. Now let me picture this with you. I got a couple of volunteers. Three. I need three people here. All right, John. Seth, you want to help us out? All right. One more. Paula. All right. We'll let Paula be Saul. You stand in the middle, all right? And John and Seth, you are Saul's bodyguards. You're like the armor bearer. You protect Saul. Okay, so you guys stand there tough. Here's little David, all right? Now David, he wants to fight Goliath, but Saul doesn't want him to. So he begins to tell the story about how this bear came. And I really think David had to get a little animated as he told this story. I don't know how he could tell the story with his hands crossed like this. He said, there was this bear that came, and he wanted to take away the sheep, and I grabbed that bear, and I pulled him by the beard, and I just took that lamb out of his hands, and I punched him, and I took that lamb away, and I protected that lamb. And he might have went up to the next bodyguard, got a little animated as he began to talk about the other animals that came and wanted to steal the sheep, and how he grabbed those animals and he was able to kill them with his bare hands and take that sheep back and put it back in the fold. Now he's only got one person left up here. Saul said, you don't have to go on with the story. I'm convinced. I believe you. I believe that you killed the lion and the bear and you killed all those animals with your bare hand. I'm convinced. You go ahead and you fight Goliath. Thanks. You guys did good. You can go and sit down. So David got permission to do it. And Saul said, go get my armor and put it on David. He's going to fight Goliath. David said, no, I can't wear your armor. Your armor cramps my style. And so he headed to the battlefield. Now, Goliath saw one boy. Just one boy. Just a youth. And David looked out and he said, am I a dog? Am I a dog that you send a boy out after me? What are we going to do, play fetch? And he cursed God and he cursed David. And Goliath said, you sent a boy to do a man's job. And David said, Goliath, you're going down. I've had all I'm going to take. I ain't taking no more. And he took his slingshot and he loaded it up, and around and around and around it went, and he let it go, and bullseye, right in the forehead of Goliath. And he fell with a mighty thud. And David ran up and he took Saul's sword and he cut off his head. That was a boy that was sent to do a man's job. Why would they send a boy to do a man's job? Well, because none of the men would do it. God only had a boy that was willing. None of the men would do it, and so he took this boy. And I think as David let that slingshot go, he thought of his favorite saying in all the world, the bigger they are, the harder they fall. And he let it fly, and Goliath fell. Do you know that age doesn't matter with anything except cheese? You don't have to be old to do something for God. And the reason you have to get a boy to do a man's job is because sometimes there's nobody else to do it. But I thank God that there are boys and girls and young men, as well as adults, who will step up and they will do the job. Boys and girls, young people, don't let anybody slow you down. Just pick up a handful of stones and get busy for God. How many of you believe that hell is real? You believe that? It is. There's a hell that's real, and it's hot, and it's on fire. And people are going there. And the Bible tells us that we are to pull people, snatch them out of the flames. Snatch them out of the very fire. Jude tells us, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. The message is urgent to you. Do you know that Jesus started doing a man's job when he was just a boy? Jesus and his family were in Jerusalem. His family one day picked up and they forgot him. Any of your parents ever forget you? They forgot Jesus. They had went 3 days. And all of a sudden they realize, you know, Jesus isn't here. We forgot Jesus. We left him 3 days ago back in Jerusalem. And so they turned around and they went back to find him. And they found him. Do you know where Jesus was? Can anybody tell me where Jesus was? John? He was in the temple. Yeah, he was in the temple. Do you know that Jesus was preaching to the preachers? At the age of 12, they were all amazed. What a great example for a 12-year-old. How many 12-year-olds do we have here tonight? There's an example of Jesus preaching at the age of 12 years old, and they were all amazed. 12-year-olds can do something for God. You're 12, you're 13, you're 14, you can do something for God. You're 11, you're 10, you're 9, you're 8, you can do something for God. You don't have to wait till you're older. You can be a boy. You can be a girl doing a man's job. Charles Spurgeon, I don't know if you've ever heard of him, he was considered the prince of preachers. He was one of the best preachers who ever preached, started pastoring a church, a large church, when he was still a teenager. You can do great things for God. You see, you need to do them now, because what if you don't get old? What if you don't get the chance to get old? Some people say, I'll wait and I'll serve God later on. I'll wait till I'm older to serve God. You know, I'm going to have my fun first. Maybe you've heard friends or people say that. I want to have fun first, and then I'll serve God later on in life. They might not make it till they get old. It may be that next year is your last year to serve God. You better give your life to God now. You better give your dreams and your hopes to God now. I had a friend who was headed for Bible college. The year after he graduated high school, that very summer, he was killed in a tragic accident. Never had a chance to do anything else for God. So you have to take advantage of the time that you have now, while you're young, while you have the energy. I was thinking this morning, as we showed that video in Sunday school, man, wouldn't it be great if all of our young people went on some kind of missions trip, served the Lord in some kind of missions capacity? You know, the Mormons and some of those other groups, they, a lot of times, they give 2 years of their life to missions and to work for God. You don't have to be old. You can be young to work for God. Jeremiah said, from my youth, I have served God. Paul told Timothy in his youth to be an example. And Ecclesiastes 12:1 says, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. There is not a better way to prepare for manhood than to start acting like a man right now. There's not a better way to learn how to be a woman than to start acting like a woman right now. Unfortunately, you know, you ever met some people that just never grew up? They never seemed to grow up and do the work of the Lord. And I think the reason some parents have problems with their teens is because the teens don't exactly know where they fit in. You know, you're not really a child, not really an adult, and so they don't really know what they're supposed to do. They don't know that God can use boys and girls and young people to do a man's or a woman's job. You know, I might be wrong here, and somebody probably will correct me if I am. I don't know that teenagers are mentioned in the Bible. I think we've kind of made up that term, and so teenagers have a hard time. They don't really know where they fit in. There's children, there's adults, there's young adults, and I'm telling you that sometimes God is looking for a man, for a boy or a girl or a young adult to do a man's or a woman's job. And I'm not belittling adults tonight, okay? I'm just trying to encourage, and I'm saying that boys and girls and young people can be like David and can be like Jesus, and they can be a boy that's doing a man's job. David did when he was considered young. God is looking for somebody that will pay the price, and it doesn't matter if you're young or old. It doesn't matter if you're intelligent or unintelligent. It just doesn't matter. God is looking for somebody that will say, I'll do it. I will do it. You can count on me. And so, boys and girls, I don't know if you read your Bible, but I would encourage you to start reading your Bible. Young people, read your Bible. Stay in your Bible. Pray. Stay spiritual and say, you know, I don't know if I can do anything spectacular, but if you see something and you say, nobody else will do it, I'll do it. I'll do it. You see somebody that needs to know about Jesus, you don't see anybody else witnessing, you say, I'll do it. I'll tell them about Jesus. I might not do it like the adults do it, but I'll do the best that I can. That's not how old you are that determines whether God will use you or not. It's, do you want God to use you? Do you want God to use you? It's not your age. It's your determination. It's your grit. Do you know that you and God make a majority? You don't depend upon your peers, those that are your age, and you don't look around and see what they're doing. You just get busy for God yourself. Depend upon Him. And God promises that if we say we are willing, then He will give us the power to be able to do that. And if you ask God to give you the power, then you can do a man's job, whether you are just a boy or a girl. You say, but I can't do that. You know, I can't tell somebody else about Jesus. You know, that's right, you can't. But God can help you so that you can. David took his sling and he flung it at Goliath. It hit him dead on. I often thought, what were Goliath's last words? His last words might have been, man, that boy can shoot. No, that's not right. It would have been, boy, that man can shoot. It's the power of God that can make a boy into a man. Have your heads bowed and your eyes closed tonight. That's the story of a boy sent to do a man's job. You guys listened really well. Proud of you up here in the front row. You listened real well. But I really mean it tonight when I tell you that your age does not need to stop you from serving God. Like David, like Jesus, you're just a boy, you're just a girl, but you can still do a work for God. You can do a man's job or a woman's job. All it takes is for you to be willing. How many boys and girls, teenagers tonight, you would raise your hand and you'd say, I'm willing to work for God. I'm willing to be a boy or a girl to be used to do a man's or a woman's work. Could I see your hand? Could you raise it up to God? All the boys and girls and young people. Praise the Lord. You could put your hands down. Adults, let's not let them get the advantage over us. Let's not make them do our work. Let's see a job and let's do it. Let's get it done. Let's do what it takes. Adults, you also can say, Lord, I'm willing. I'm willing. I might not have all the intelligence there is to have in the world. I might not have all the skill and persuasive speech, but I'm willing to serve the Lord. Father, we thank you tonight for this example of David, a boy sent to do a man's job. We thank you for Jesus and the example he set for us. And I thank you for these boys and girls and these young people here tonight. Lord, I thank you for the home, the Christian homes that they are from, their parents' willingness and ability to get them here to hear a message such as this. And I thank you for these raised hands, their willingness to serve you. And I pray, Lord, that you would use them. Lord, that you would use them even while they are young. And they would catch a vision and a burden to be used by God, no matter what their age may be. Bless them, we pray. Give them opportunities to serve. Give us, as adults, opportunities to serve you. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. What we're going to do now is we're going to do what we do on Sunday afternoons after fellowship dinner. We're going to have the same kind of prayer meeting that we have then, okay? So I'm going to get this stool up here.